Welcome to Fast Intelligent Care, the podcast for occupational therapists who want to make a real impact. Every Tuesday, we bring you fresh ideas, clear insights, and practical solutions in assistive technology. Let's make smarter, faster, and more effective care simple. Your journey starts now. Today, we're talking about something that can make or break a safe and comfortable transfer, choosing the right sling. Now, if you've ever had to pick a sling for your client or for a loved one, you know it's not as simple as just choosing the first one you see. There are so many factors to consider. Does it fit properly? Does it work with the hoist? Is it comfortable? And let's be real, has the caregiver actually been trained on how to use it correctly? Today, I'll take you through the three biggest things to consider. The person, the occupation, which is the transfer, and the environment. So we're using the PEO model. Plus, I'll share some stories on what happens when sling assessments go really well and when they go terribly wrong. Let's get into it. So why is sling assessment important? Slings play a vital role in safe patient handling, minimizing the risk of injury to the individual being transferred as well as the caregiver assisting them. The wrong sling can cause discomfort, increase pressure injury risk, or even lead to falls or unsafe transfers. That's why choosing the right sling is just as important as selecting the right transfer aid or hoist. So I've structured the assessment process in three key categories. The person, which is the person's physical and cognitive needs, the occupation, which is the transfer and the task being performed, and then third, the environment, which I don't just look at the physical environment and equipment compatibility, but also the support network or the support environment. Now let's break each of these down. Firstly, the person. Not every sling fits everybody. Let's start first with the most important piece, the person. The person being transferred isn't just a number or a diagnosis. They have unique needs and preferences. So let's tell you about Lisa. So Lisa is a lady in her 50s. She has quadriplegia and a very significant lean towards her right side. She uses a power wheelchair and an electric bed and has a ceiling hoist. Lisa is also bariatric and is very difficult for her carers to assist her with sling application and transferring. Lisa also is someone with a pear body shape, which means most of her weight is distributed around her hips. What are the key factors to consider for Lisa in terms of her as a person? So we need to look at her body shape and weight. Because she's bariatric and has a pear body shape, there might be some things that might not be suitable for her body shape, and there might be things that aren't suitable in terms of their safe working load to support her weight. Next is the firm score, or how much assistance the person needs. So this is important to consider because we'll need a much more supportive sling if the person has a very low score or needs more assistance, whereas someone that doesn't need as much assistance will have a sling with less material and less support. So this would be using your standing sling versus a full body sling. Now, for someone like Lisa, who is a person with quadriplegia, she has very poor trunk control. Lisa has the ability to slightly bring her body forward with an overhead self-help pull. But most of the sling application, bed mobility needs to be done by her carers, which means they are doing majority of the work and then having to actually lift up her legs and roll her to be able to do proper sling fitting. So this means she is at a score one, which means fully dependent. And this is something that we didn't take into account for sling as well, as we might look at a sling that is going to give her proper trunk control, is going to be very supportive, and it's going to possibly have a head support as well if she doesn't have sufficient head control. Next, we'll look at skin integrity. So when someone is at a higher risk of pressure injuries, they all have very fragile skin. We need to look at slings that are going to be stretchable, that are going to be breathable as well, so we don't have extra moisture buildup. A sling isn't always a very stretchable fabric. A lot of times it can be easier for carers to leave a sling underneath a client, especially if getting the sling underneath them and taking it out is very difficult. So for example, Lisa, being a bariatric client and being from score one, would be very difficult for her carers to do that sling fitting. In this case, they actually would leave the sling underneath her, but because she's a person with quadriplegia, they're actually at a very high risk of developing a pressure injury. So it's actually really bad for a sling to be left under her. This unfortunately resulted in a sling having to be replaced multiple times and also not getting the full benefit of her pressure care cushion because the sling actually isn't stretchable. If it's not specifically designed to be a leave-in sling, it's not going to have a stretchable and breathable material. And if it's not stretchable, it has this tight hammocking effect, which prevents the person from sinking in or immersing and being enveloped or having the cushion contour around them. If we add anything non-stretchable over a pressure care cushion, we're taking away the pressure care properties. We're taking away how effective that pressure care cushion is going to be. So for clients like Lisa, we'd want to look at either a leave-in sling that is safe to leave underneath her, which will reduce manual handling, but also ensures that she gets the best out of her pressure care cushion. We'd also look at padded leg supports for Lisa, as she has bigger thighs, and because her skin is fragile, the padded leg supports are going to be a lot more comfortable. Padded leg supports are also a good option for someone with fragile skin or that needs extra support by their thighs. So what happened with Lisa is that her leg supports weren't supportive enough and they'd actually fold on themselves and become like a rope and it would actually dig into her thighs. And even though she didn't have the sensation, she would definitely get skin breakdowns from this. Does the person have good head and trunk control? So can they hold their head up? Do they need a sling with extra hair support? Do they need a sling that has a very high back support? Are they suitable for a hygiene sling that has a very low back support? These are all very important things to consider. Now, Lisa specifically isn't suitable for a hygiene sling because a hygiene sling requires the person to have really good trunk control to be at least a FIM score 2. And the hygiene sling would also not be suitable for Lisa because she has a pear body shape, which means because where her weight is distributed, she's going to possibly slip through a hygiene sling that has a very big commode aperture and has a buckle around the waist. And then we also look at cognition. Can they follow verbal instructions or do they need more structured support? We also want to look at the person's mobility level. How much can they weight bear if they can at all? So if they are like Lisa, that can't weight bear at all, they definitely need a very supportive sling. Whereas someone that can weight bear might be something like a standing sling. We also look at specific medical conditions. There could be conditions that could mean a sling might not be suitable for a client. So this could be an example like someone with involuntary movement that needs a special sling that allows for that movement to be transferred through the sling instead of the hoist. Or it could be someone with a double amputation that needs a hammock type sling rather than a sling that has two separate leg supports. If you have a sling that requires the person to fully extend their legs, if they had tight hamstrings or contractures or fixtures in their knees, they possibly wouldn't be able to use the sling and might need to use something like a transport sling, which is a sling that buckles around the waist but has leg supports so you can actually weight bear in a squatted or seated position, which then allows you to still weight bear without having to fully extend your legs. Understanding these factors help you choose the right sling for the client that provides comfort, safety, and dignity for the person being transferred. Now, we mentioned earlier Lisa's FIM score or functional independence measure. Now, there's going to be different slings that are suitable for different FIM scores. Now, FIM scores are functional independence measures, which is a score 1 to 7, with your higher scores being one that's fully independent, whereas your lower scores, like your score 1, is someone that's fully dependent or needs total assistance. Now, it's important to match your sling type with the FIM score of your client. An example of slings that aren't suitable for certain FIM scores is your hygiene sling. Hygiene slings are only suitable for clients at a minimum of a FIM score 2, which means anyone that has total assistance needed or is fully dependent on a carer won't be suitable for a hygiene sling because a hygiene sling won't be supportive enough and they can actually slip through. So for these types of clients, you might need to look at a full body sling. Unfortunately, won't have the hygiene sling that gives you easier access to remove and reapply clothing, which means clothing will have to be taken off while they're in bed. They'll have to then have a sling applied underneath them and then taken onto their commode or into a bath. Another example is your standing slings, which are only suitable for your clients at a minimum of 3, which is someone that requires moderate assistance. This is possibly someone using a standing hoist. So matching the right sling of the person's FIM scores ensures that they receive the correct level of support from their sling and minimizing caregiver strain. Now we look at the occupation. So what kind of transfer are we talking about? Okay, so now that you know what the person needs, the next big question is, what exactly are they using the sling for? Let me tell you about James and his toileting nightmare. James was 80, had Parkinson's. His daughter Sophie noticed that his caregivers were using a full body sling for all of his transfers, including when he needed to use the bathroom. So it was a mess. That means every time he needed to go to the bathroom, they'd completely remove the sling, have to reposition him after, and then reapply the sling. It was exhausting and honestly pretty undignified for him. The simple fix, a hygiene sling with a big commode aperture, so that they could transfer him, remove his clothing while he was in the sling, have him do his toileting, clean him off, and then reapply clothing and leave him in the sling, and then just transfer him back into his chair or into bed without having to take the sling in and out. Because of his age, James would have a bit of vulnerable skin, but he did have an appropriate film score, so he could have used a hygiene sling safely. James had sufficient trunk control, he had the right body shape for a hygiene sling. So key factors that we need to consider in terms of the occupation or the transfer is the type of transfer. Are we doing a transfer from chair to chair? Are we doing a transfer onto a toilet, into a bath? Because this is going to affect what type of sling we choose. An example would be if we're transferring into a bath, we might look at a mesh sling. If we're transferring onto a toilet, we would look at a sling with a commode aperture. If the person had to do a sit-to-stand transfer, we could even look at a standing sling. Now, if we're doing transfers multiple times a day, especially within a short period of time, we could possibly also look at something like a leave-in sling or in-situ sling, which is a sling that we can leave underneath the client safely without pressure injury risk, and which then reduces how many times the sling has to be applied and taken out, which is also really good to prevent any skin tears or excessive friction on the skin and skin breakdown. Also, when we look at transfers into baths or pools, we want to look at those mesh materials that dry very quickly and have very good drainage. Choosing the wrong sling for the transfer type can add so much extra time and stress. The goal? To make it as easy, safe, and dignified as possible. Also important to consider when we're looking at dignity and privacy is looking at slings that have what we call a modesty loop or a crossover method that is going to be comfortable between the client's legs, especially if they have a catheter in, but it's also going to be suitable to prevent their legs from splaying open. Lastly, we have the environment. Can the sling and the hoist work together? So the last big piece of the puzzle is the environment. And let me tell you, this is where things can go really wrong if you're not careful. So let's talk about Ben, his caregivers, his great hoist, and his completely wrong sling. So Ben is a 65-year-old man with multiple sclerosis or MS with top of the line brand new hoist, perfect hoist, which had a cradle or pivot frame attachment. But what his caregivers and his family members didn't take into consideration is the compatibility of his sling with his hoist. Now, he unfortunately, with his pivot frame, needed a clip sling attachment, but his family ended up purchasing a loop sling attachment. When the caregivers actually had to do a lift for the first time with his brand new hoist, they realized that the loop slings do not attach to the clips. They tried their best to get it to attach, but ultimately it was quite unsafe and it was at a very high risk of slipping off, because it actually wasn't compatible with each other. There are instances where hoist accidents have been fatal, and a lot of times this has been attributed to slings not being compatible with the hoist or being used for the wrong type of transfer. Now, it's very important when looking at slings that your hoist attachment type matches your sling's attachment. Now, the two main ones we get is our clip attachment, keyhole attachments, or our loop attachments. Also, another key factor that wasn't considered in Ben's environment was his caregiver's abilities. The caregivers weren't trained properly on how to apply the slings and how to do it properly, which if they actually had gone through with the full lift, it would have been very unsafe and would have possibly had a fall. So very important when you are looking at prescribing slings, you look at slings that have easy to use attachments that are easy to train and that can take away kind of the guesswork that the carers have to do. Now, an example of this could be using attachment loops, which will help the carers to know that they at least attaching both sling loops on each side of the sling at the same height and that the person isn't being lifted lopsided. Also important when we are using something like a pivot frame that does help with positioning the person while they're in the sling. This clip attachment is going to possibly be a lot easier because I don't have to think about what loop I'm attaching, but I need to make sure that that clip is securely fastened and that it's locked in, that it's not going to slip out. It's also important to protect our caregivers because it's not always going to be funded supports. In some cases, it might be family members, and they might not have a medical background. So very important to teach them how to apply slings correctly, how to do the crossover of the leg supports without it digging into the person's legs, and how to make sure that those loops or clips are securely attached. We want to protect our caregivers, so we want to also protect them in terms of how they're doing sling applications, how they're doing hoisting. We want to make sure that our manual handling is as safe as possible. And this could include teaching them on how to do the proper technique in terms of rolling the person to get the sling underneath them, or a method to apply slings when they're in a seated position. And also when we're looking at the environment, we also look at our space or set up an application of our slings. Now, ideally, we want to have easy access around our client to be able to get a sling underneath them, especially to get their leg supports under them. This could be an example like being able to fully access around the person's bed, especially when you're applying a sling, you'll most likely be using two carers. So you'd want to have access on both sides of the client. If you have something like a commode or a wheelchair, you'd possibly want to look at a way to get the armrest out of the way to get better access to the client. You'd also look at things like height adjustable beds or recliner chairs that can lift up to bring the person closer to the carer, that they don't have to bend down as much and strain their back in order to get the sling underneath the client. Even the best sling won't work if it's not compatible with the hoist or if caregivers aren't trained on how to use it properly. So always check the setup before lifting. I'll give you a bit of a checklist on choosing the right sling for your client. Before making a decision, ask yourself these key questions. Does the sling fit the person's body shape and weight? Does it match their FIM score and level of mobility? Does it provide the right level of support for their head, trunk, and skin integrity? Is it suitable for the type of transfer and frequency of use? Is it compatible for the hoist being used? And do all caregivers know how to apply it correctly and use it safely? If you can check all of these boxes, you're on the right track for choosing the best sling for safety, comfort, and dignity. I hope your takeaway from today's episode is that you need to match your sling to the person, the occupation, and the environment. For example, if they have poor trunk control, they need a full body supportive sling. If they need frequent toileting transfers and they have sufficient trunk control, they need a hygiene sling that can save a lot of time. If they're using a specific hoist, make sure the sling attachments match the hoist. Remember, comfort, safety, and dignity are the goals here. Sling selection is not just about function, it's about finding the right balance of support, comfort, and dignity for the person being transferred. So whether you're a therapist or a caregiver or a family member, understanding these key factors can make a world of difference. Have you had any experiences with sling selection, good or bad? What do you wish you knew before choosing a sling? Let's talk about it. I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments. I hope this guide makes you feel more confident when assessing slings. Thanks for joining us on Fast Intelligent Care. We hope you're leaving with fresh insights and tools to make a real impact as an occupational therapist. If you've got questions or topics you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe and join us every Tuesday for more ideas and strategies to deliver smarter, faster, and better care. Until next time, keep making a difference.